Skype of Cthulhu presents The Music of the Spheres by Kevin A. Ross, published in The Stars Are Right by Chaosium Inc., featuring Sam as Marshal Harry Dresden, a.k.a. Agent Glavin, Magnus as DEA Agent Dan Ferguson, a.k.a. Agent Gary, Corey as CIA Analyst Nate Cranston, a.k.a. Agent Hendry, and Jonathan as Dr. Daniel Hayes. Opening music graciously provided by Alicorn. You can find Alicorn's music at alicorn.bandcamp.com. Alicorn is A-L-L-I-C-O-R-N. Now, enjoy our Delta Green adventure, The Music of the Spheres.
All right, Jonathan, you have a small character background, so take a D6 extra points for that. You have a character picture, so it says D4 to D6, so take D6 because we've had a good laugh at it. And you've had two contacts, so take a D8 for those.
Okay.
So there's your extra skill points. And remember, no starting skills over 75%.
No worries. So. None of them are.
Yeah.
7 extra skill points. Where shall I put them?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hello.
Corey has...
There he is.
Yeah. Hey, sorry about that. Had some computer problems there. So, finally in.
You, an IT professional? Computer problems?
I waited till the last minute, and then there's some updates. Sorry about that.
No,
my bad.
I just realized prior to game start that one of my skills that I updated, that I improved last time, bumped me up to 80 on spot hidden.
Wow.
Cool.
I'm a spot hidden king.
You're going to see everything.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, I can see nearly everything.
Okay. Do I need an agent name, or am I going to be a friendly? How's this going to work?
Actually, I think it'd make more sense if he's a friendly, considering he's a scientist.
That works for me. I have no mythos.
In terms of Corey and Sam, y'all had asked about the spells from the book. The book takes an average of 32 weeks to study the scrolls, the letters of Nestar. I did want to try out the feverish study rule from Keeper's Companion 1, but I haven't had time to really study it and figure out how to implement it. But since we had started the last game in July of 2014, and it only about 3 days have passed, and we're now in August, I'm going to say not enough time has probably passed for y'all to have completely studied the scrolls of Nestar, even though they've been translated to English. So,
okay, cool.
We'll get back to that.
You know, it's just you said that would sort it out between last game and this game. So,
and to be fair to y'all, I mean, it's been an exhausting week for me work-wise, so...
I have just
a lot of stuff. I literally dealt with some stuff with Magnus just like 5 minutes ago.
So, that's all right.
I just wanted to make sure that it hadn't been forgotten.
Mm-hmm. One more thing before we move on. Corey, you had gotten a 0-1 on a luck roll.
Yes.
Looking on page 101 of the 6th edition rules, if you will subtract your POW from 21, so take your POW, subtract from 21,
okay,
and then multiply the result by 5.
Okay.
Okay, and then that result, roll on a D100, and if you roll under, you may have a chance to increase your POW.
Oh, okay. There we go. So that is 30. We'll see how it goes. No, 97.
Your POW goes down to 7.
Lose a point of POW.
Yikes. Okay, there we go. Well, hey, what are you going to do?
Okay. Okay. Some time passes. Marshal Harry Dresden returns to his work with the Marshal Service, escorting prisoners and finding fugitives. DEA agent Dan Ferguson goes back to doing his thing as a DEA agent. And agent whatever his friggin' name is, I completely forgot now. Help me out here, Corey.
Hendry.
Oh, Nate Cranston.
Nate Cranston, yes.
goes back to the CIA and analyzes reports, and it looks like he's out of an episode of Homeland, right?
Yes.
Twitchy and lack of sleep. So a couple of weeks pass. And eventually, you all receive an email from an encrypted Delta Green email account. And let me go ahead and pull this up and paste it into the chat for y'all. Where did I put that? See, I had all this stuff open before I restarted the computer, and now I have to go open everything up again.
Oh, bug ones. That's a snigger, if I do say so myself.
And go over to Skype and paste this in the chat, and then I will read it for the benefit of our listeners. Okay. Bing! You've got mail. There, I'll show my age. Briefing. Directive from ACEL. Operation Falling Knife. You will investigate unusual activity in Hayden, Nebraska. Lights in the sky have been reported to UFO organizations, as well as cattle mutilations and other paranormal disturbances. 2 days ago, Stan Arnold, a local IT professional and Delta Green friendly, murdered his girlfriend in an uncharacteristic and unprovoked attack. These incidents must be investigated. O-line, you are not assigned to any case in Hayden, officially or otherwise, so you will take leave. Although you do not need to keep your law enforcement affiliation secret whilst in Nebraska, you should not allow your superiors to discover your whereabouts or activities. If you need to call on official resources, e.g. fingerprint matching, etc., you will need to ensure that it is not tracked to you or this investigation. A team has been gathered for this mission, and you will all rendezvous at the Marriott Hotel in Omaha at 0900 tomorrow morning in the lobby. Ensure you are carrying a copy of the Fortean Times to recognize each other. A rental vehicle will be waiting for you at the front desk. There has not been time to organize expenses for this mission, although you will be reimbursed at a later date through a laundered channel. If you require further information, reply to this email, and we will endeavor to return your request within 24 hours. Good luck, Barnett, BCL. All right. Now that covers you, Marshal Dresden, and Agent Ferguson. However, and Agent Cranston, sorry. I think I said that, didn't I? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what's the new guy's name here?
Daniel Hayes.
Daniel Hayes. Dr. Hayes,
mm-hmm.
You receive a phone call at wherever you work. I assume a lab or some sort.
Yeah, some sort of.
Dr. Hayes, this is Alice from the FBI. I believe you've done some consulting for us before.
Have I? Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Yes, sir. We are in need of an experienced experienced professor with astronomy and computer background with mathematics and physics. Would you be able to drop everything at short notice and fly out to Nebraska to the Great Plains Cruciform Array?
Well, it's not the most convenient, but always happy to help.
Of course, your usual stipend for consulting be provided with an emergency per diem entitled as well. We have plane tickets standing by for you at Reagan National, if you would be so kind. Unfortunately, a technician there, also a consultant for us, has there's no delicate way to put this. He's been imprisoned, and we need somebody we can trust on the inside there to look over his work and give us a report on what he was working on. As you understand, this will be under national security guidelines, as you've previously worked for us before.
I understand.
Thank you, Dr. Hayes. All right, if you will check your email, we'll send you your flight itinerary and tickets, as well as information about the Great Plains Cruciform Array you will need. Have a safe flight, and please email us once you arrive there.
Okay.
All right, so you get an email in your inbox with your flight information. Obviously, information about submitting your expenses.
That's the most important. I'll read those pages twice, yeah.
And a little bit of information about the Great Plains Cruciform Array.
Yeah, so maybe I'll read that if I get bored.
I'll read that later because it also applies to me. Mr. Cranston, Agent Ferguson, Marshal Dresden, I assume y'all repair to the airport to get tickets?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. You are able to get a flight without much problem out of your respective airports, most likely big and national. And you will arrive tomorrow morning in Omaha, Nebraska at the bright and early hour of 6 a.m. So anything y'all want to do before you head out?
Actually, you know, I think I will use some of my either research or UFOlogies to try to find out a little bit more about the lights in the skies that have been reported in Hayden.
Okay. You can give me a library / internet use role and also UFOlogy role.
Okay. Library use. Wow. Oh, total fail. 0-0. That's a...
Really?
That's not good. Oh. Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I know a lot, I think.
Okay. Well, let's just put it this way. Computer crashes, and you have a hard disk failure.
Horrible. Okay. Well, there you go. Great.
But
great,
you may continue your UFOlogy reroll on your smartphone or tablet or whatever.
I'll try that.
But your laptop is toast.
Yeah, that's good. That's a 24 out of 37. So that's a hit.
Nice. You may check your UFOlogy.
All right.
All right. You find out the reports have been posted to multiple UFO websites, most of the big ones, you know, but especially PhenomX and Watch, which are Saucer Watch is a nationwide organization dedicated to studious and diligent investigation of UFO phenomenon. PhenomX is a cable access television show, something like you'd see on History Channel.
Okay.
But there's been a couple reports, and you can grasp it maybe from a handful of people who reported seeing the standard lights in the sky, moving at high speed, stopping suddenly, blinking in different patterns. A lot of it fits your standard flying saucer sort of thing. There's even one woman has reported that she was abducted, experimented on by tall, spindly humanoids with round, almond-shaped black eyes.
Okay.
So it's pretty much sitting the standard pattern of almost everything you've heard about those sort of alien abductions in the U.S.
Okay. And do we get a name for that woman at all, or is that just something that they put out?
She posts under an anonymous handle of Farmer's Wife is the anonymous handle she posts under.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool.
All right. Anybody else want to do anything before we fly out?
I guess I will look up this this array.
Sure. Library internet use role.
Is that both?
That's one skill. Library internet use.
Oh,
right. Your investigative skill.
I see. Success.
Well, you had a 60 on it. You should better. All right, go ahead and check it. The GPCA Radio Telescope Facility is located 4 miles due west of Hayden, Nebraska, reached by a gravel road. There is a set of movable radio satellite dishes as well as still larger ones that are permanently stationed. The entire array is nearly 5 miles long and 2 miles north to south. It's pretty much a standard radio location, much like the Very Large Array in New Mexico. It's had some success over the years with various astronomical phenomenon, some good publications. The head of the facility is a Dr. Gerald Neal, and he's been there for many years. So,
okay. I will maybe look up him as well.
All right. You want to make another roll for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Success, yep.
Okay. Dr. Gerald Neal is in his early 50s. He has never been married. He owns a house in the suburbs of North Platte, which is some distance from Hayden. I think it's about a 40-minute drive. You do know from your previous search of the GPCA that a lot of it does SETI-related search for extraterrestrial intelligence, but Dr. Gerald Neal is well known as a skeptic of this. He's more interested in traditional astronomical surveys. So he is a well-published astrophysics and astronomy and well-regarded throughout the community.
Okay.
So, in fact, that would be a name that you would know, at least, yeah, if not in detail, at least have heard in passing.
Sure. Okay. Did they book me business class tickets?
You could give me a luck roll for that one.
I have quite high luck. success.
Yes, you've got business class.
This consulting business isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Enjoy different drinks.
Just consulting my life.
They all say that before they lose their minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well, enjoy it while we can.
That's right. Okay. So, anybody else, or shall we all catch a flight to Omaha?
I'll just make sure to pack my my handgun.
Yes.
In my checked luggage, of course.
Okay.
Yes, and dressed in
like so you shouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Dresden also make sure to pack his firearm.
Okay. Agent Cranston, are you up to any no goods, or are you ready to head out?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I'm with the other guys. Try to pack up everything that I would typically bring on my paranoid missions here and head on out.
Okay.
These missions aren't paranoid in any way, shape, or form.
I am. All right. I'm very paranoid. So.
It's not paranoia if they're actually after you.
That's true.
There you go. That makes me feel better inside.
Marshall Dresden. Agent Ferguson and Agent Cranston, y'all can give me spot hidden rolls once you board the plane.
Nope. Missed
27. That. So that's a pass.
Good.
I succeed.
Check that as well. Okay, as you two board the plane, you both recognize all three of each other from your previous case on this Fire Shall Kill. So at that moment of, we're all on the same flight.
How did that happen?
That can't be good.
Wow. Look at that.
It's like, do we share a travel agent or something?
Do you also fly from Florida?
Well, I was in the...
Wait, you're down in Florida, Dan? I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's Agent Ferguson, I thought you might be in Washington. Okay, no, you're on a Florida. Separate flight. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It makes sense that Cranston would fly out of Reagan National out of Washington, since that's close to Langley,
yes,
where the CIA is.
Yeah, okay, so, hey. Hey. Cranston, good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a few weeks. How have you been?
Oh, good, good, good. My computer crashed last night, but aside from that, I got backup somewhere, so that should be fine, but had to get out of the way.
Yeah, those newfangled computer things, I don't know. I remember back in the day when everything was on paper.
Ah, yes, yeah. And it's very flammable, so I like computers. It's
just as long as we don't release any of those features anywhere near the paperwork, we're good.
There you go. It's good to hear you draw.
Marshall Dresden's right hand has a slightly smaller bandage, but it's still pretty heavily swathed.
I was expecting to see like a plastic hand or something. So yeah.
Well, as soon as the bandages are gone, he's getting a plastic hand.
No, you need a solid gold hand.
Okay, now
get a hook for a hand.
No, yes, unfortunately, not on a federal U.S. Marshal's salary. I mean, he's only earning like 70 grand a year.
That can buy a hook.
That can buy a nicer.
Yeah.
I think an iron hand would be better. The iron hand of justice.
It's like, instead of pistol whipping the fire, he can pimp slap it.
And you can put a velvet glove over it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, y'all arrive in Omaha, disembark, and we'll just jump to the Marriott Hotel. You are able to all find a copy of the Fortean Times at the airport newsstand. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, unless y'all want to get up to some no goodness, The three of you meet for breakfast at the lobby of the Marriott with a copy of The Fortean Time. Okay. So, now, Dr. Hayes?
Yes.
Part of your information, you were to fly into Omaha, and you were told you would meet a federal escort there at the Marriott and to pick up a copy of The Fortean Time. So, rather than pussyfooting around, we'll get all four of you together there in the lobby there with breakfast and The Fortean Times. So, all four of you together, sitting there with your copies of The Fortean Times. Go.
Henry.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good to see you guys. It's been a while. We had quite an adventure last time.
Yeah.
Are you a physicist too?
No, we're federal agents.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. My name is Agent Gary, by the way.
Gary, nice to meet you. Hayes.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Hayes. I'm Glavin.
But you can call me Daniel.
Nice to meet you, Daniel.
Daniel, Dr. Hayes, I'm Agent Hendry. Glad to meet you. So what is your specialty?
Astrophysics, as it happens.
That'll be very interesting to learn more about your field, that's for sure.
Oh, well, if you show even the slightest bit of interest, I'll start talking about my work.
Okay. And Hendry will try to understand.
And Glavin will just glare at him. Will just glare daggers into Agent Henry. And Hendry.
I'll start talking about the array we're going to and about its features and how I'm very excited to. So you'll be well thrilled at breakfast.
So what do you think about this alien thing that they're talking about and the lights in the sky? Are you a believer,
Doctor?
Well, I think there are. What are the chances that in this entire universe we're the only planet with intelligent life? I think there's definitely intelligent life out there. Whether it comes to Earth to prance about in the skies, well, that's another matter. But
Well, good. It's good to hear you have an open mind. I have a similar view.
Sounds like something out of a science fiction magazine.
Well, yes. I mean, the distances required to travel, I mean, it's vast, and any species that could complete such a journey would have to be vastly more technologically superior to us. So, well, let's just hope they're friendly, eh?
Yeah. So what y'all are telling me is that we've got alien joyriders.
Well, there's lots of reasons there could be lights in the sky. I mean, it's probably not anything that, but I'm sure that there's a more mundane reason and explanation.
Yeah. I'm gonna shoot a look at the other agents and say, yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, sure there is. Just like there are flame and flame creatures around there. Anyway. So, what's the plan of attack, gentlemen?
Well, I guess we should probably try to get some information on what happened here.
Did you receive any other orders from Barnett?
I did not. I'm actually kind of confused. I usually have a pretty organized assignment, but this seems like we're kind of out here on our own and to our own devices. So, what do you think, guys?
Out of character, you do know you have a rental vehicle waiting for you at the front desk at the Marriott there, and you'll be going to Hayden, which is pretty much clear across the state.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess we better get Hayden.
Yeah.
All right, I'm driving.
Yes, okay. Please. I'll sit in back.
The one-handed man is driving.
Is it an automatic?
Well, as you pick up the keys at the front desk at the Marriott, the clerk hands them to you and says, yes, here's the keys for your vehicle. And this also came in by fax for you. And he hands you one of you a sheet of paper. And it says, directive from Barnett, Good morning, agents. Please go to the Dairy Queen on the outskirts of Omaha and request the Lawman special.
All right. Well,
okay, there's more to this than we know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dairy Queen.
I'm been to a Dairy Queen in years.
Yeah.
All right, so y'all find the vehicle outside in the parking lot. It is a 15-passenger van. Way bigger than the four of y'all need.
Holy.
It takes up two whole space.
Wow.
We expect this car from Texas?
You were driving, Graham, right?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Did they design this car in Texas? Holy damn.
All right, so the van is set up with a GPS, so you can punch in your destination, and Hayden is a four-hour drive from Omaha across the state. Actually, it's 4 hours to North Platte, which is the nearest big town to Hayden, then 45 minutes north to Hayden, which is pretty much a wide spot in the road.
But should we go to the Dairy Queen first?
Yeah, we got to get there.
Yeah, Glavin types in the address for the Dairy Queen.
All right. Gives you directions to the Dairy Queen. It's on the way out of town on the outskirts of Omaha. And you drive and arrive at the Dairy Queen. You order the Lawman special for four.
Yeah.
And as you pull up to the drive-thru, the rather overweight white girl in a big headset who's of an indeterminate age, anywhere from 18 to 40, you can't tell, leans over and starts handing you bulging paper sacks that are curled over at the top. It says, here you go, officers. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, ma'am.
I just look at one of the others and say, is this normal? Is this what you do normally?
Depends on the mission. For some ops, you need this kind of cloak and dagger stuff.
Hey, I'm not complaining. I get paid well.
I'll peek into that bag immediately and see what's going on here.
Okay, you find some badges in there that say U.S. Marshals. You find identification for the three of you. You know, Marshal Glavin, Marshal Hendry, and sorry, my brain is shot.
Marshal Gary.
Marshal Gary, thank you. And there's also a couple of prepaid credit cards in there, $5,000 in banded up bills. There's no guns, unfortunately. There's a little scrawled note that says, sorry, there is no green box anywhere near except Omaha. And there's also some information printed out about the Great Plains Cruciform Array, pretty much the same that Dr. Hayes would have been able to tell you. There's also a printout about Stan Arnold, the friendly who's been put in prison, put in jail.
He's a friendly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
So basically just information to get you started and some cover identities for you.
Gotcha. Excellent. All right. U.S. Marshals it is.
So does he say that out loud?
I say it under my breath.
No, it's because it's like, because technically you already have one U.S. Marshal. Well, at least one who knows how to act like a U.S. Marshal. When he's not pistol whipping fire.
Well, let's get out of Hayden.
Yes, So, Dresden starts driving towards their intended destination.
By the way, whoever's typing, I have listened to the last podcasts. Try to type a little softer because it is, when you hear it on the podcast recording, it is thunderous in the background.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. Okay. That's me. Sorry about that.
All right. Yeah. So the 4-hour drive to North Platte commences. Part of the printout that you get about Stan Arnold is he is a computer technician at the Great Plains Cruciform Array. Stan has been working there. I'm trying to find his information. Stan's been working there for a few years. He is a friendly for the organization. I'm guessing y'all probably don't want to tell that out loud to Dr. Hay, other than he's a consultant. But he's been a friendly for the organization in the past, for Delta Green, and consulted on a few cases, but he's been kind of dormant for the last year or two. He is accused of murdering his live-in girlfriend, Carrie Osborne, and has confessed to the crime and is being held at the sheriff's office in Hayden, which is the small town near the Great Plains Cruciform Array, which I'll refer to as the GPCA afterwards. Essentially, Delta Green really wants you guys to check out why he murdered her, see if there's anything behind it. Since you're going undercover as U.S. Marshals, it's suggested you might want to come up with a cover story that he was in witness protection and that his cover identity is Stan Arnold. His identity is Stan Arnold is actually a cover identity. So that may allow you some freedom to question him and investigate into his background. In terms of the other reports of the lights in the sky and the other things that have been reported, the cattle mutilations, you are to look into it, but you don't have any legitimate cover for doing so other than pure curiosity. So the printout advises you to step carefully.
Right.
And it's obvious to you if you start talking to Dr. Hayes. Dr. Hayes is going to be stepping into Stan Arnold's recently vacated position.
Okay. This should be fun.
All right, so
I'll stop talking about quasars.
It's going to be a long road trip.
That being the case, the moment we stop for like a light or something, Dresden turns on the radio, finds a decent country music station, and turns it up loud to drown them out.
That's not going to stop me from talking. I just
it's going to stop Dresden.
That's mighty interesting, there, yeah, Professor. We need to talk about something else. I can't follow you.
Here's a question I've been wanting to ask: is there any way to pipe in music into Skype? Does anybody know?
I can if I want to, because I'm piping everything through Logic. But
would we be able to hear it, or would it just show up on the pipe?
You'd be able to hear it, yeah.
I don't know if I could do that. That'd probably be too much on my computer. But what about Mumble? Does Mumble allow that?
The reason that it works for me is because I'm piping everything through an audio workstation program. So I can just add another channel and add the music there. But
maybe I should.
I mean, it would be
something
the same
to think about for next time.
Yeah,
because that would be great if you could put a little country music in the background right now.
We'll do it in post.
I've got guitars and Cadillac by Dwight Yoakam running through my head now.
Yeah.
All right.
So Henry, you're into this UFO nonsense, right?
Yeah. No, I'm a believer. It's true. Can't hide that. What's up?
Do you know if there's any sort of local UFO people in Hayden?
Well, these Phenom X guys, they seem to be pretty much up on what's going on around here. I could try to find some others.
That might be a good reason to look into the cows and the lights.
Okay.
Sort of they're on the down low.
Yeah, okay, good idea. So yeah, I'll check around, see if I can find some should I make a roll on that? I could probably do that on my little phone as I'm on the drive there.
Okay, what are you looking up exactly?
Just trying to find some
contact
UFO societies and that sort of thing there in the local area of Hayden that might have spotted this stuff, and try to get some local contacts there.
Okay. Yeah, give me a library internet use roll. I'll say it probably at half because it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Okay. Yeah, actually, 09 out of, I guess that's 32.
Okay. You find one person has been posting especially to the Saucer Watch message boards. Now, again, Saucer Watch is one of the largest UFOlogy organizations in the U.S. It's very well funded and run very professionally. In fact, they've, if not gained a legitimate following, then at least recognized as being more diligent in their researching into this sort of phenomenon.
Okay.
But one person out of Hayden actually has been posting quite often onto their message boards and is now taking it to himself as being an unofficial investigator for them.
Okay.
He goes by the handle of local_Steven.
Okay.
And he is taking upon himself to investigate further. He started posting some pictures of the cattle mutilations. He even has a picture of what looks like a crop circle and some shaky nighttime video of the lights in the sky moving around. So he might be a good place to start once you get there.
Lights. Okay. Actually, I think you cut out a little bit. Could you, local Steven, or I did one or the other. What was after local Steven?
He's got posted some pictures of a crop circle.
Okay.
The cattle mutilation, and it looks like four different ones. And he has some shaky video of the lights at night moving around the sky.
Ah, okay. Cool. Yeah, no, I will immediately tell Agent Gary, look at this. I think we might have somebody here. This guy named Local Steven, he's got a lot of information. Look at these pictures of the dead cattle and the crop circle, and I'm getting really excited and flipping through it. Yeah, look at this stuff. This is a gold mine. Yeah, great idea there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta track this guy down.
Yeah, he might be useful, but that's about, yeah.
So how do you use the internets to find
the internet? Well,
I got my tricks, man. This is my bread and butter. So I, you know, smart, but I can work a computer. That's for sure.
All right, I'll leave you in charge of sorting that out.
Yeah,
oh, I'm glad.
It's a series. It's a series of tubes.
What is your use?
It's not that great, but it's respectable 50. All right. It's not awesome.
I've got 60. I'll give you some advice.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. So I guess, that would be my plan moving forward, is trying to figure out some way to track this guy down through, IPs and that sort of thing. Try to, look at the headers of, maybe break in some into their website.
Could just try to message him.
Well, I could do that too.
let him do his thing if he wants. But if he's fast.
Paranoid, if he's paranoid like I am, I don't know if I'd be giving that away. But
go
sure,
give him a computer use. That would be a computer use role for that. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll try to just scheme on the other. Oh, just missed a 55. Not good enough.
Yeah, you're in trouble. It's kind of hard to do this on a tablet when you're moving along in a van. So
yeah, no problem.
Maybe later when you get to Hayden.
Sure.
Shall I? I'll grab the tablet out of his hands and say, look, this is how you do it.
There you go.
And I roll a 41 out of 60.
Yeah, there we go.
Go ahead and check your computer use, Dr. Hayes.
Okay. That's amazing. Right. You're good.
You're able to finger him on the internet and find which ISP he is running out of in Hayden, and you even get his billing address. So you know exactly where he lives. So, and his name is Stephen Wood, and he pays his bills on time for the ISP.
This is the UFO guy?
Yeah, local Steve. The guy who goes by the handle of local_Steve.
How paranoid can he be if he uses his real name?
That's true. I don't know. I wouldn't be doing that, but hey. It's each their own, I guess.
So the hours roll by. You hit North Platte and turn north to Hayden and continue your journey. I will tell you, it is hot. I mean, it's summer in Nebraska. We're in the it's about August 1st. A few weeks had passed since your last outing. Actually, I'll say it's the last week in July. How about that? So it's about 98 degrees Fahrenheit, 36 degrees Celsius. So it's miserable. But thank goodness you've got a frosty air conditioner in the van. And as you drive, pretty much there's not much to see except tiny little towns. I mean, North Platte's the most exciting thing you see. You do notice there's a lot of grasshoppers flitting through the fields of wheat and corn. And occasionally, a cloud of them will go across the front of the van as you drive, and you'll splatter some against the windshield. Other than a farmer on a tractor or, you know, another vehicle passing, the only other thing you see is crows sitting on wires watching you with beady little eyes as you drive along. Eventually, you arrive in the town of Hayden and pull up. You see the little sign on the outskirts, "Welcome to Hayden, the most friendly farming community, home of the GPCA." So where do y'all want to go?
What time is it?
It's been a 4-hour drive. You left about 9, so with stops for food and bathroom breaks, I'd say probably about 2 in the afternoon.
Well, let's get checked into whatever kind of hotel or something they have here.
Okay. Really quickly, what is the GPCA? I'm trying to figure that one out.
The GPCA is the Great Plains Cruciform Array. It's the radio telescope facility outside of Hayden. It's about 4 miles due west out of Hayden.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks.
Okay. All right. I won't make you roll for it, but the only local hotel in Hayden is a little hole in the wall called the Quality Inn. And it's so old, it's basically an old motor court. It's essentially a one-story U-shaped hotel with a courtyard in the middle you drive into. Yeah. And one on the end of it is the one, you know, on the end is the office.
Well, let's get settled in.
All right, you stop out of the van and you're immediately hit in the face by how bloody hot it is. Oh God, it just takes your breath away. But in the distance, you hear a rumble of thunder and you see towering clouds as a thunderstorm starts to build from the heat of the day. So the clerk at the Quality Inn is a woman in her 50s with her hair in curlers, chewing an enormous wad of bubble gum, smacking it loudly as you walk up to the window. It's not even you don't even step inside. There's just a window. She slides open the window screen too. Like, what do y'all want?
I got a bad feeling about this. sorry, ma'am. Would like to some rooms to stay.
How are you dressed, by the way?
Like in a suit.
Okay. All right. So you're not wearing anything obvious, just a suit and tie?
Yeah.
Dresden's wearing, you know, jeans, checkered shirt, and overcoat,
in the middle.
Wow.
Well, he's
quite mad.
Well, with a
melting away.
He looks the part. I mean, you know, he's got.
He's beginning to consider taking the damn thing off, but
try and lose an eye this adventure, and then you'll really complete the look.
Oh boy!
Gary's packed lighter clothing as well, but
rooms are $30 a night. There's 2 beds to a room. Gonna need 2 rooms, or you need more?
Each.
Yeah, let's take.
Henry's looking
rooms.
Around nervously. I prefer my own room, actually. Yeah. How's the internet?
So that's only 3.
How's the internet?
How's the internet?
What?
The internet.
We got color television and air conditioning.
Air conditioning sounds lovely.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have
the ice machine's broken too. who, but vending machines work fine. We got plenty of pop and peanuts.
Yum.
Right,
we'll take four rooms. That'll be nice.
Yeah. Do you know where in town where these my friends can get that Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi.
Yes. My friends are after some Wi-Fi. Do you know where in town we can get some of that?
The hardware store?
Oh, thank God I got to get my phone.
Hello,
internet.
Back?
Yeah, we're back.
Yep. We're just riffing on the internet and trying to find it.
Yeah.
Yes. Because Chris is after the Wi-Fi.
Okay. Who's playing with their cell phone or tablet at this point?
I would check it immediately if there was no Wi-Fi around in Hayden. So
there is no Wi-Fi, and you also notice there is no cell phone signal either.
Oh, not even for calls.
Good God! What am I gonna?
Dr. Hayes, you may give me a knowledge roll at full. The rest of y'all can give me knowledge rolls at half.
Success.
Success? Okay.
37, that's...
Ah, man, missed it by two. Bummer.
Yeah, I missed it two. By five.
Sam, did you roll?
Yeah, I rolled. I got, let's see, all right, maths, 45. I passed.
Okay. Well, pretty much everyone made it except Corey, so...
no, I missed
essentially what you... Oh, you meant, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Hayes and Marshall Dresden, for whatever weird reason Marshall Dresden would know this, I have no idea. Maybe Dr. Hayes was boring him to death. But Dr. Hayes, you would definitely know this. There is a radio telescope facility just outside of town, 4 miles, and they require absolute radio silence. So there would be no cell towers within a certain radius around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... there will be no cell phones, no Wi-Fi, anything like that would do a radio signal.
Ugh. Are there phones in the rooms?
We got phones, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's long distance. We charge to your account, though.
Of course.
Of course. We'll be fine, I think. Do we have to pay like a deposit or anything for the rooms?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many rooms did y'all end up getting?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as she hands out your keys and you head back to get your rooms, you can't help but notice there are two fat crows sitting on top of the van now, pacing back and forth, eyeing you with their beady little black eyes, and one of them squawks at you as you walk up to the van to get your stuff.
Well, Nate's a little salty, so I think he actually sweeps him off the van. Get out of here, godforsaken crows.
One more. All right,
they fly away.
Stupid things.
One more right. Crow, Thunder and that rumbles. Would have been a murder.
Thunder rumbles in the distance as the thunderstorm starts to build. You can hear lightning actually starting to crackle and see some in the distance. So, what do y'all want to do first?
Shall we head over to the police station. To the array? I can. Oh well, I was gonna.
Well,
I think I have to examine this person's work. So,
yeah, that might be useful.
And I think we got an in there right now, anyway. So that would probably be the first place we should probably start.
Yeah. Okay.
Or we could split up, but it's gonna be. We need to meet at certain times to keep in contact with each other. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we can visit some local hardware store to see if they have walkie-talkies or something.
Well, if it's like 2, 3 in the afternoon, why don't we, some of us go down to the sheriff, talk to the sheriff and see this fellow we're supposed to be talking to, and some the other two of us go to check out this array, and we meet for dinner at the local Greasy Spoon.
Actually, I think it might be a good idea to find out as much as we want before. We don't know how much access we're going to have to this. To, what's his name?
Stan Arnold.
Yeah, to Mr. Arnold. So, the more we know before, the better.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I think it's a pretty good idea there, Agent Henry. Maybe we should, or sorry. Excuse me, Gary. You're so handsome. I had to call you Henry. Yeah, and I think that might be a good idea. Maybe try to see if we can find some sort of communications devices. They might have something for field hands and stuff. At least it would give us some sort of contact at a range.
Yeah.
So why don't we make a trip there before we head to the place?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so where are y'all going?
Hardware store, Radio Shack, whatever.
Yeah, or a feed, like a Farm and Fleet or whatever they have, some sort of large place where they might have some sort of communication equipment.
The town is so small, I'm not going to make you roll for it, but basically you find Murphy's Corner Feeds would be the closest thing to a hardware store. It's awesome. Williams and Main Street. And you pull up, and it's a metal corrugated building with a concrete loading dock, and there's bales of hay sitting out front. A couple old men are sitting out on worn chairs, feet propped up, spitting chaws of tobacco, talking, and the thunder continues to roll and build in the background as the storm grows. And you all pull up in your big van.
It's gotta be part of the course here.
I'm not gonna get over that.
Hey boys, wonder if you might be able to help us out a little bit there.
You're not from around here, are you? The other spits a big chaw of tobacco, lands, splatters on the ground.
No, I'm sorry. We're not much in we don't know much about local affairs here, but we're just wondering, are you guys do you happen to have any communication equipment, maybe some walkie-talkies for the field hands or anything around, or know where we might be able to order some within close proximity?
Old man Murphy's got some inside there. You'll want to go in and get some.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. Thank you, boys.
We go inside.
Yep.
So, when they see how you're dressed, Marshal Dresden, both old men sort of nod at you.
I return the nod.
They offer you some chewing tobacco.
Inside, around piled packages of feed, and they smell of sweet feed assaulting your nostrils, there's a wooden counter along the back, and a very large gentleman of enormous girth and almost as an impressive mustache as you, Marshal Dresden, stands behind the counter talking to a young lady who seems very upset, and he's trying to calm her down and say, now, I'm sure everything will be okay with it. It'll grow back the way it was supposed to. Don't you worry now. This sort of thing, I'm sure it was just some pranksters, and he sees you guys, you walk in, and he goes, oh, gentlemen, welcome to my feed store. What can I do for y'all? And she, the young lady, steps away like, thank you, Mr. Murphy. I appreciate it. And she walks out, and she's got a bundle of something in her arms and starts walking towards the door.
Henry will actually, excuse me, miss. Excuse me.
Yes? What's your appearance? Hello?
I think we lost him.
Lost him to the internet.
He was struck dumb by her.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I got disconnected there. I'm back.
Okay, what's your appearance? Give me an app times five roll.
App times five, which is not going to be good.
That's why I'm doing it, because I'm an evil kid.
I know. Here we go. No, 53 out of 35.
No. 35?
She sort of stops up short and sort of sniffles a little bit and looks at you like, what do you want?
I don't know. I just had some, we have some interest here. I was just wondering if, I'm sorry, I overheard your conversation over there. You're not talking about possibly your crops that were damaged. We're trying to investigate, and we're looking into some things around here. We thought we might have.
What? You're not from around here. What do you care about my crop? You need to give me a fast talk roll now.
Okay. That's not very good either. We'll see how it goes. 76 out of 20. Yes.
You stumble over your. It's like, oh God, you're one of those freaks, aren't you? Look, just leave me alone.
I'm sorry.
What happened to my?
I'm sorry. Don't be bothered with what my associate here is saying. We're working for the government.
Hang on just a minute, Magnus. Give me a second. Sorry about that. Phone call. I had to make sure it wasn't important.
Sure.
So you're stepping in, Agent Ferguson?
Yeah.
All right. What's your approach going to be?
We're with the government. We heard there were some irregularities with the crops here. We just want to find out if you're one of the affected.
Okay.
For statistical purposes.
That would either be a credit rating roll, or I'll hit you because it's a rural American town. You can either do credit rating at full, or you can attempt a fast talk now at half because you are, believe me, you are an anti-government backwater here.
Yeah, fast talk at half it is.
Don't worry, okay. We're with the government.
Wait,
97.
To take your guns.
97.
I give you free healthcare.
I'm in rural Mississippi. Don't leave me. all your worst stereotypes.
Am I the only one here who sunk any points into credit rating?
Yes.
I have like 30 extra points in credit rating.
But I had 75 fast talk, but I rolled 97.
Oh!
You rolled a 97?
Yes.
Oh! We're making an impression.
Okay. Yeah. Something came out very, very wrong.
Presumably they haven't gotten their subsidies yet. Still waiting for a check from the government.
Okay.
Dr. Hayes is just watching the professionals at work.
She gets very, very upset. She's like, oh God, it's bad enough you got one of these UFO freaks. Now government met. Oh, next there'll be black helicopters out here. Just leave me alone. She storms out of the building with her sack curled up under her arm, storms out the front door. Mr. Murphy behind the counter did not help but overhear this, and his brow y'all can make of me a psychology roll if you like.
Yeah. 81, that's a fail.
0-3.
I got a 28 out of...
I impale my psychology.
Make an eye next to that, Dr. Hayes.
Okay.
You're impaled, and anyone who succeeded can check. Basically, you can all tell that this has put a very bad taste in Mr. Murphy's mouth, seeing the approach there. So this would definitely be a credit rating approach. It would definitely be a credit rating to approach Mr. Murphy at this point.
All right. Since I am the only person in the party with some credit rating above base, I will roll.
And you've got a duster on and a magnificent mustache and a cowboy hat, I assume.
That should be a bonus.
Yeah, that's a plus.
I'll give you a 10% bonus.
And with an ought two, I succeed.
Nice.
Didn't we take away your roller and now you've transferred your luck to your dice? You're amazing. Yes, all right, put an eye for impale next to your credit rating because you just nailed that. All right. But Marshall Dresden has somehow, through the combination of your dress and comportment and courteous manners, overcome Murphy's distaste for the obvious outsider.
Government
so,
outsiders.
So you're in good with him. What'd you say?
Government outsiders, nonetheless.
So Mr. Murphy warms to you quite well. He's like, you're not with those government men, are you?
While I am unfortunately with these government men, I do not I do not speak for the government men.
Well, it's just as well. Just as well, they could learn a bit of courtesy where a young lady's concerned.
I know.
So what can I do for you, old time?
Well, these young folk are sweating the lack of cell phones. Yeah, and they're after walkie-talkies or similar. If you have any in stock, of course.
Oh, but of course. I got a couple sets here. And he sets two sets on the so that would be four radios in total on the counter. So that'll be $150, sir.
Excellent. Hands over the money from the stash and thank you, sir.
If you don't mind me asking, what are y'all in town for? Other than he glares at the other three, harassing the locals.
Well, we're with the Marshal Service. We're here to talk to Stephen Haynes, was it?
Stan Arnold.
We're here to talk to Mr. Arnold. Unfortunately,
the murderer. He kind of shakes his head, glances at the counter. Damn shame. They were such nice people. Carrie, especially, such a sweet girl. I don't understand why he did that. Just a plum tragedy, I tell you. Plum tragedy.
Indeed it is. That's why we're here, to make sure that the tragedy is resolved.
Are you Marshal Service? Y'all escorting him to North Platte or something?
No.
We can't talk about the specifics of our case here.
Yes.
No, I understand. I understand. Well, y'all have a good day, gentlemen.
You too, sir. You too.
Well, Murph. Before we leave there, did you say you knew the Arnold and Carrie?
You know what I'm going to hit you with here, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Give me an app times five or a credit rating.
Woohoo! They're both horrible. So, hey, we'll just go with the app. Ooh, I made it. It's a 30 out of 35.
He kind of sniffs a little at you, but he does answer your question. He's like, of course everybody in town knows about the murder. And anything exciting like that, I'll make a round of moments around here.
What? I mean, did you notice anything strange about him? I mean, did he come in a lot, or what happened to him that would cause such?
You know, Stan worked out at the GPCA outside of town. I mean, he was a nice guy, very friendly. He and Carrie would eat at the Hayden Haven Diner every Friday night, like clockwork. Maybe they'd go for a drink sometime at Tony's Tavern. But nothing special about them. They just did their work out of the GPCA. And Carrie was he kind of scratches his head and tries to remember. Carrie didn't work at the GPCA. She was an agronomist? Yeah, agronomist, something like that. Or geologist? I can't remember exactly. But she was a scientist of some sort.
Okay.
But she didn't actually work at the GPCA. She was doing something here in town, but don't remember exactly.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to. We're just trying to get to the bottom of things. So, thank you. Thank you for your time. And I'm sorry to have disturbed your customers. That was not what I was trying to do. We were just trying to help.
Uh-huh. Y'all stay out of trouble now.
We'll do our best, sir.
All right. Cool. So back to the van.
Yep.
Okay. All right. By now, the thunderstorm is now fully involved over Hayden and is starting. You can see rain coming down Main Street as you get back in the van. So rain is just pouring down over the town. Thunder's crackling overhead. You see lightning strike several times outside of town. So where are y'all headed to?
Let's get out to the array.
Yeah, I'd like to find out some more about this Carrie girl as we get out there. Maybe they'll give us some Wi-Fi to get on or something. Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, who's driving?
Unless anybody has any objections, Glavin.
Yeah, not at all.
Go ahead and drive this old clunker.
Well, you know, I'm going to put my...
Actually, the van is brand new. It's brand new 15-passenger van, Ford.
It's just
like Econoline. it's enormous. So, give me a drive skill, minus 10 percentile.
My dice have finally failed me.
Oh, no. It's not a brand new one.
No.
I buckled in.
I rolled a 99.
Oh,
what'd you roll?
Oh.
Okay. Did everybody buckle in when they got in?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I assume
of
so.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. Well, during the drive out of town, you're on a gravel road. You slip and slide on some ponded water, lose control of the van, and go off the road into a ditch and blow out a tire. So, in the pouring rain, somebody is going to have to change the tire.
Damn it, Glenn.
It's been a long goddamn day. I've been driving for the better part of God knows how long. Cut me some slack.
Are you going to make the one-handed guy change the tire?
No,
he's
I'll
the one
do
that
it.
Did it. Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mumbled stupid driving.
All right. Basically, you can just give me a strength times 5 to simulate changing the tire or a mechanical repair, whichever you prefer.
Strength times 5.
Okay.
87, that's a fail.
Okay. You try jacking the vehicle up, and eventually the ground is so soft it falls off the jack and collapses onto the hub. So, it's nothing too bad, but you have to jack it up. So you're out there. You're getting soaked to the bone in this rainstorm. And you finally get the tire changed, and y'all head out to the array.
Good thing I bought some spare clothing.
So you're driving now.
All right. So as you drive up to the array, you pull into the parking lot, and to your right as you pull up, you see a squat one-story building. A brick and concrete, very unassuming. And you can see off distance there is an enormous four-story round building with a large satellite dish perched at the top. And in between the rain and the lightning flashes, it's hard to make out anything else. But you're parked in front of the one-story cinder block building. So.
Is that a door?
Yep. Door, windows,
Any sign on the door?
It says administration.
Well, might as well start there.
Like, lead the way, Doc Hayes.
Okay.
You're the
marshals, aren't you? The ones that are gonna get us in there.
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable.
All
right. I'll knock the door.
Okay. All right, the door opens. You see a receptionist desk in front of you, 40-ish, a white female sitting there filing her nails. There's a book open on the desk in front of her. She looks up. Oh, hi. She stands up a little flustered. Welcome to the GPCA. How can I help y'all?
Hello, my name is Marshall Gary. We're here about the Arnold case.
Her eyebrows fly up into her hair. Oh, Stan Arnold? Oh, gosh, that was so tragic. Yes, but, you know, he's at the jail, at the sheriff's office.
We know.
In town, in Hayden.
We're just doing some follow-up stuff around...
some background research.
Background research around his case.
Okay. Well, I guess you'll probably want to speak to his boss then, his immediate supervisor. That would be Dr. Bennett. Shall I page him for you?
Yes, please.
Okay. She gets on the phone and rings up. Yes, Dr. Bennett, there's some marshals here to see you. By the way, Dr. Hayes, you can pipe in at any time here.
I'll introduce myself and say that I'm astrophysicist and
helping
the investigation.
That's right. They sent you out about Dr. Arnold, about Mr. Arnold's position. That's right. Well, you'll want to talk to Dr. Bennett since he was his immediate supervisor, and I believe you'll be taking over where Arnold was, Mr. Arnold was.
Okay.
So in a few minutes, walking down the hallway comes Dr. Harlan Bennett. He's a tall, slim black man, 30s, wears glasses, dressed in a very nice three-piece suit, very well-dressed with his tie. He strides down the hall, looks the four of you over, immediately walks up to you, Dr. Hayes, and puts his hand out and says, Dr. Hayes, I understand you were being sent to help us out here. There's a problem with Mr. Arnold?
Yes, that's right.
I'd like to get you to work right away. We have an enormous backlog, unfortunately, with our newest case. So why don't you grabs a little notepad, sketches out. Why don't you head over to the array, to the control tower. Go ahead and head up there to the third floor, and we'll get you started there. You'll meet chief technician, Jack Bernard. He'll get you started.
Okay. I'll just look at the others and...
I'll nod.
Right. I'll go off and do that.
All right, so you have to leave the administration building and head across. It's a brisk walk, but you have to head about 200 yards over to the tall four-story building with the big satellite dish on top.
Yep.
And we'll get back to you in just a minute.
Sure.
All right. Meanwhile, the three of you are standing there in the waiting room with Dr. Bennett. He's like, so what can I do for the three of you? I understand I was told you're marshals here about Stan Arnold.
Yes, my name is Marshal.
You know
Gary.
He's being held by the sheriff in town.
Yes, we're aware of that. We're conducting some background investigation here. Would it be possible to talk to you or somebody else regarding Mr. Arnold and possibly also his girlfriend, Miss... what was her name?
Carrie.
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 Yeah, Carrie.
What was her name? Carrie Osborne.
Miss Osborne.
Well, certainly. Why don't you also come back to my office? So he leads you back down the hallway in the administration building, the last office on the left, and y'all have some seats. y'all could give me a psychology roll.
Okay.
0-1.
Nice.
Nice.
So yes, that's an impale.
No, if anyone made it, make sure and check. 0-1. Make sure you check it if you haven't checked it before.
Yes.
No? If you haven't made it before, put an I next to it. We're impale.
Yeah.
He is visibly perturbed by the whole Stan Arnold thing. And he starts out with, oh, I'm not sure how I can help you gentlemen. I mean, Stan was a technician under me. I hired him out of MIT. He was a wonderful technician, well-versed in multiple programming languages, a big help here. Honestly, he presents a giant hole in what we're doing right now with this new research. So this whole thing with him murdering Carrie, I'll be honest, he takes his glasses off, starts cleaning. I can't quite frankly believe it, why he would go off and do this. And he's such an even-tempered guy. I mean, other than being a workaholic lately, but then again, I guess Dr. Neal and Dr. Guest may have been driving him a little too much. So I can't really see any reason for this.
Well, was he acting differently, apart from the workaholicness, was he acting different to his usual self prior to his unfortunate actions?
I can't say he has. I mean, this was... unfortunately, we've been working very hard the last few months, and you know, Dr. Neal and Dr. Guest really wanted all of us on deck to help up with this new research, and you know, Stan would really put in some extra hours, and he'd spend nights here sometimes, and just be in his office there over at the control tower, and just he seemed to be a little stressed, but I didn't ever detect any thing that would lead me to believe he'd want to murder anybody.
In your experience, there's been no history of outbursts, violent or otherwise.
No, not at all. Not at all.
How would you say he reacted to stress?
Well, like all of us, I mean, you get under the pressure, and then you deal with it. You rise to the occasion. I mean, Stan was a hard worker, and you know, he got along well with his other colleagues. We all loved him. I mean, you know, I had nothing but good things to say about him as an employee.
You say that you had a new project lately. What could we ask you what that was that he was working on?
You can give me another psychology check if you want.
All right. That one I made, 32 out of 40.
Pass
here.
Okay, if you pass, this becomes obviously somewhat nervous. He starts to shuffle papers on his desk. He's like, well, the project, well, you know, we do a lot of astronomy work here, and sometimes we'll do SETI work, but the project, it's very hush-hush, you understand. You know, Dr. Neal doesn't want anything getting out about this. He doesn't want it to be pushed before anyone here can take the credit for it. So he's clearing his throat nervously. It's you probably have to speak to Dr. Neal about the particulars on that. I really shouldn't say anything else about it.
Okay. Well, speak to him then. Totally understand, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course, and
Dr. Neal's not in his office right now. I think he's over at the control tower, so you'd have to go over there.
Yeah, we'll go over there when we're done talking to you.
And of course, we understand that discretion is the better part of valor.
Not that we'd be able to. I mean, we're U.S. Marshals. What are we going to do with some astronomy data?
Yes.
Well. You have to understand, Dr. Guest, in this profession, it is publish or perish, and the first to publish, you understand, it's all very secretive. Well, we have to keep this under wraps.
Of course.
And, of course, and we
as opposed
will,
to law enforcement.
Well, we will, of course, you know, if we do discuss anything sensitive, we will, of course, you know, and outside of any reports we might have to write, which are confidential unto themselves, we will keep it under our respective hats.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your discretion, gentlemen, and I'm sure Dr. Neal will as well. And like I said, if you'd like to speak to him, he'll be over at the control tower.
Yep. How long weeks would you say that Mr. Arnold had been putting in lately?
This project's been going on for a couple of months now, and I mean, he's been doing at least 80-hour weeks because, as a technician, it's up to us to make sure that the receiving dishes are properly aligned, and, you know, we have to code the data from them, and, you know, sometimes we have to write whole new programs. So all of us, me and Stan and Bernard, I mean, we've all been on deck helping out with the doctors. So it's a lot of work, but you know, it's good work, and we're well suited to it. And you know, Stan is going to be definitely missed on this.
So his girlfriend also worked here, right? What did she do?
Carrie, well, she actually wasn't part of the GPCA. She had been actually tasked here from the University of Omaha. She was doing some studies on the local. Local wildlife and biology. You know, since the whole area around the GPCA is a protected reserve, she had wanted to study what something about grasslands, I think, and the biology of grasslands, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
I'm going to take notes visibly.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So you didn't really. You didn't know her in a professional manner?
No, I mean, she would come around here. You know, we actually, as a courtesy, would keep a workroom open for her, so when she needed to come write some notes or something, she could get in some air conditioning and get a bite to eat here. But, she didn't actually work in this facility per se.
All right.
She and Stan had an apartment in town in Hayden that they share. But, you know, we'd see her out on the grounds periodically. And, you know, Gary Wilson, our maintenance man, she'd talk to him occasionally whenever she needed some help with something out on the grounds.
Yeah. Did you ever see the interaction between between them during work hours?
Oh, certainly. I mean, when Stan would take a lunch break, I mean, he and Carrie would sometimes have lunch in the staff, you know, the staff break room, either here in the administration building or over there in the control tower most often.
Did you notice anything out of the ordinary?
Goodness, no. I mean, they seem like a perfectly happy couple, you know? I mean, they've been together now for about a year, and they moved into that apartment together in Hayden. Nothing really struck me as wrong with them.
Yeah. How did she feel about the long weeks lately? Do you know anything about that?
He kind of furrows his brow, trying to recollect. I mean, she was, I think Stan mentioned she was a little annoyed that he wasn't home more often for dinner, but I don't think it led to any fights between them. I mean, Stan did mention Carrie would like him to come home more often, and she one time did kind of call me half-joking, asking if I was holding him hostage here, but, you know, nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Well, unless any of my associates have any other questions, I look towards the other guys.
Well,
not right now.
Yeah, actually, I did. You know, you said that she had a spot to work, and you know, we're actually need a little bit of space. I was wondering if we could bother you to possibly get some internet access, and you know, it sounds like you were extending that to Carrie. I was wondering if maybe we could use that same spot, if that was okay.
Certainly. I can set you up a workspace, the best office here in the administration building, and I can get you access to the T1 line. So if you'll give me a little time, I'll set up some user profiles for you and make sure there's a terminal available in the guest office for you.
We really appreciate that. That you know, our work is busy, and we need our internet to do a lot of research, so that would be great if you could set that up.
Understandable, and there's not any internet really in Hayden, and with the lack of cell phone facilities, you can't get wireless data, so I understand. I'll try to help you out here.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it, Dr. Bennett.
You're welcome.
One other thing. Do you know anything about a Mr. The guy from the saucer watch?
Oh, yeah, Steve. Steve Wood.
Steven Wood.
Do you know something about a Mr. Steven Wood?
The name doesn't ring a bell. All right. Sorry.
Well, thank you. That'll be all.
Okay, well, let's cut over to Dr. Hayes. So, Dr. Hayes, you start walking across the parking lot to the control tower. And you are lashed to the bone with rain. So it is just coming down in sheets.
Lovely.
And as you get near the control tower, again, it's a four-story structure surmounted by a large satellite dish. And as you walk up to the entrance, standing in the little entryway, huddling out of the rain, smoking, you see a white woman, about 40, mid-40s, with a butchered haircut, just cut short, and she's got a white lab coat on, and she's clutching a cigarette and just looks miserable. And she kind of looks at you, furrows her brow, takes a drag on the smoke as you walk up, and goes, "Who the fuck are you?"
I'm Dr. Hayes. Dr. Arnold's replacement.
Oh. She stubs the cigarette under her foot. Stan. Son of a bitch. All right, come inside. You need to meet Dr. Neal. So she leads you in.
You are?
Dr. Mancini, and she says it in a tone like you should know who she is. Mm-hmm. You can give me an astronomy roll. Since you don't have any academic lore, give me an astronomy roll.
Nope, I failed that. 87.
Okay. Name doesn't ring a bell.
Nope.
Okay. She leads you upstairs to the second floor, and there's a spiral staircase around the center of the control tower. There's an open hollow, and there's a spiral staircase ringing it, and offices off each landing. And on the second floor, she leads you to Dr. Neal's office. His door's cracked open, and he's leaning back in a very large plush chair. He's got his fingers steepled over his belly, eyes closed, and she wraps her knuckles. Dr. Neal, new guy here to see you. And she walks off muttering something about, under her breath, about son of a bitch killed Carrie. So Dr. Neal, kind of a slightly overweight, 50-ish. She's got thinning hair. He's got a rumpled suit on, and his tie is slightly maladjusted. And he's got kind of a florid complexion. His nose got some broken veins in it, like a heavy drinker, perhaps. And kind of opens his eyes halfway, like, oh, yeah, you must be Dr. Hayes. I was told you'd be coming. He's sitting here like, so I guess you'll be needing access to Arnold's work.
Yes, that would be a good start.
Okay. Well, he kind of looks at the door. He says, well, Arnold was working on our latest project, very, very hush-hush. You understand, in academia, we don't want any new discoveries getting out prematurely. Yeah, I can trust your discretion, I assume, correct?
Yes, of course.
You don't have any credit rating, do you, Dr. Hill?
I have a credit rating of 30.
Okay, well, go ahead and make me a roll just for fun on that.
22.
Ooh, nice. Go ahead and check it. You come across as very trustworthy. You're probably British, aren't you? British people are automatically trustworthy to Americans. Anyways, he produces some documents. He's like, this will be a non-disclosure agreement I'll need you to sign before I give you access to Arnold's work. So he pushes it across the desk. He says, we've made a remarkable discovery lately on the radio telescopes, perhaps groundbreaking, and dare I say, perhaps career-making. And you'll be working, obviously, with Dr. Bennett, our chief technician, and decoding the data coming through. But this discovery, I dare say, could make everyone's career here, perhaps even a good word for you. Oh, background in astronomy or astrophysics?
I have a PhD in astrophysics.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, this may actually be very good for all of us. I'll be sure to put in a good word. If you can just keep your mouth shut while we finish up. It shouldn't only be another month or so just to verify. You know, we've got to make sure all our results line up and get it verified. But and he stands up. You can give me a psychology roll, by the way.
I impaled one earlier. I don't think I will this time. Oh, no, 03. I think that's what I rolled before. I impaled my psychology again.
Okay, Dr. Neal is not nearly as excited as he should be. I mean, he seems kind of lethargic and just heavy-lidded. It's just everything he's telling you, he should be practically giddy, but he's just sort of kind of going through the motions, so to speak, almost.
Well, he's probably
he leads you out.
20-hour days, isn't he?
Actually, it doesn't seem to be exhaustion. Just you're not really sure why, but he almost seems like he's depressed. So he leads you up the stairs to the third floor, to the main computer. And he's like, this is where you'll be working. Dr. Bennett should be getting you access soon. But we'll go ahead and you can take Arnold's station there. And Jack over here, Jack Bernard, and he motions to another guy. He'll get you started to pick up where Arnold left off at. Okay. And if you have any questions, let me know. There's a break room and lounge on the first floor of the control tower. And we'll get you set up with some staff facilities out at the staff building. We do have some rather Spartan apartments for visiting grad students and the like. We can get you set up out there.
Okay, I will nod and smile and.
All right. At that point, the other guy, Henry Jack Bernard, stands up, and he is a rakish-looking man in his early 30s. And unlike anybody else, he's not dressed in a suit and tie. He's dressed in a Hawaiian shirt and cutoffs and flip-flops.
What's his name, sir? This is who?
Jack Bernard.
Okay.
And he pops up out of his chair, thrusts his hand. He's like, "Nice to meet you, Jack Bernard. How you doing?"
Daniel Hayes, yes. I've been brought in to take over Stan's work. I'm still a little confused as to what the project actually is.
Damn shame about that. I was hoping they'd send a female technician out to take over. Sure, a lack of some pretty women out here. I'll tell you what, other than Jenny Hooper, not much to look at. You getting much action out from where you come from there, Hayes?
Nice.
I'll just ignore him. I'll just look at him as he says these things and raise one eye.
Oh. Okay, quiet, sir. I understand. Me, you know, I like to go into North Platte as often as I can, try to blow off a little steam, but it's boring as hell out here. So let me set you up here at Arnold's terminal. Let me sit you down on a mainframe, get you logged in with Arnold's login. It's like, you're going to be going through reams of data here decoding this stuff. Boring as hell, I tell you what, but, you know, job's a job. What the hell? So are you pretty familiar with this system? And you can make a computer use roll or mathematics.
Okay.
If you'd like.
25 out of 60, so yes. I'll make that a mathematics roll. I'll make that 25 out of 50 on mathematics, so I can take that.
Okay, go ahead and make your mathematics. You understand it pretty soon. You've seen this kind of computer language before.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you have any questions, let me know. But if you know your way around it, you can pretty much know where to go.
Okay. I still have no idea what's going on or what this project is, but I'll take a look at the stuff on the computer, see if I can piece it together.
Okay. Give me an astronomy roll. Okay. You're going to be there. I mean, it pretty much is going to be you're going to be there for several hours. So
just make it 59 out of 60.
Okay. All right, 59 out of 60. As you're basically parsing through raw data coming in from the telescopes and essentially trying to translate into something usable for the doctors to go over.
Okay.
But since you have a background in astrophysics, you're able to make more sense of it. And you realize that they have found a repeating signal on the telescopes. And at first blush, you would almost think it's a pulsar.
Mm-hmm.
Except the radio signature is wrong. It's not what you've seen from any pulsar before. But it's strong. It is consistent. There are certain time frames when it's visible in the sky due to the Earth's rotation. But every time the Earth comes back around in line with it, they pick it up again. And it seems to be growing stronger. So this would definitely raise your eyes as an astrophysicist.
Okay.
So, and it strikes you as unusual, and if not a major discovery. So, but beyond that, you'll need more time with the data.
Sure. Okay. I'll continue to study that.
Okay. All right. So at this point, I'll pop back to the three of you. I assume y'all head over to tower.
Yeah. Yes.
Indeed.
The other three?
Yeah. Yes.
Agent Glavin, Agent Gary, Agent Hendry.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Y'all head over to the control tower and walk in, and you find yourself in an open atrium with a spiral staircase headed up and some doors scattered around the edges. Seem to be kind of alone at the moment, other than a janitor emptying some trash cans who looks up at you. And they're like, can I help you guys?
We're looking for Dr. Neil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm Jim Davis. I'm one of the handymen and janitors. Let me take you upstairs to Dr. Neil's office. He's on the second floor. Thank you. So he leads you up the stairs. knocks on Dr. Neal's office door. Dr. Neal's got a set of headphones on, and he looks at you, takes them off. He's like, "Oh, hello. What can I do for you, gentlemen?"
"Hello, my name is Marshall Gary, and these are my associates. We'd like to talk to you about Mr. Arnold's work here."
"Stan Arnold?"
"Yes."
"Oh, yes. Oh, damn shame about that." He shakes his head. "Yeah, I understand they're holding him at the sheriff's office. He confessed to it."
"Yes."
"That is a damn shame."
"Yes."
"So what can I do for the marshals? It's kind of unusual y'all would be out here."
"Well, we're collecting some background information on the case. From what we've understood, he's been working some really long weeks currently. And Dr. Bennett asked us to talk to you about the subject of his work."
"He did?"
"Yes."
"Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm..."
"He was reluctant to tell anything, and he asked us to talk to you."
He kind of grumbles and hems and haws, like, "Well, I'm reluctant to say anything about that. I mean, you understand it's kind of a publisher perish, very top secret. Y'all can give me a persuade roll to try to get him to open up about it."
"Yeah, I can try. All right. I don't have any persuade."
"Ah, 80. I do. 32 out of 45. So, it's very important for the investigation. We really need to know what he's involved in and try to figure out, what might have caused him to do this and see if there's anything, external factors which might have affected him."
"It's not like we need any astrological, any astrological details. We don't understand that stuff anyway."
"Well, that and..."
"Astrological."
"That, and we here at the Marshal Service do understand that discretion is the better part of valor." "Yeah." "So,
So there was a successful persuade roll?"
"Yes, I did. I got a 32 out of 45.
"And I also succeeded if he needs backing up." "Because, yeah. So, yes. Anyway."
"Hang on a second. I want to send something. Where's the share file thing under here? On Skype?"
"That would depend."
"Right,
buddy?" "But you can't share to..." You can share to conversation too.
That plus, there should be a plus button which should should allow you to send files and stuff."
"All right. Let me send this file. And it's only 718 kilobytes. And then when you, Magnus, if you would play it for us, it's a WAV file."
"Yeah, sure."
"And I'll tell you when to play it." "All right."
"Interesting."
"Okay, so we had a successful persuade roll. He said, well, Arnold is a technician, and he's helping decode the signals for our project here. It's do y'all know anything about the Nemesis Star theory?"
"No, I can't say that I do."
Could I make a roll for it?"
"Sure." "Astronomy roll, or you could try a knowledge roll at half."
"Okay. Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to have to do."
"It's like, the Nemesis Star is a theory that was put forward in the 80s that there is a rogue planet or star that transitions through our solar system every 26 to 30 million years, and its passing is responsible for periodic mass extinctions on the Earth. Well, he steeples his fingers. We may have found it. And I believe we found signal emanating from this particular star. So it's a very big deal. I mean, this is the kind of thing that..." "Hello?
Still there?" "Yeah, we're still there."
"Oh, the file must have come through."
Yeah, it's true.
"Okay. Well, whenever you get that, and I'll tell you when to play it. It's like, we may have found the signals from it. We have found the signals from the Nemesis Star. This is a very, very big deal, gentlemen. I cannot overstress how groundbreaking this would be in astronomy. We found this several months ago. We're still working on it. We've got to get verification of our data and collect more recordings of it. But would y'all like to hear it? We've actually recorded the sound."
No, that'd be interesting.
Of course.
All right.
All right. And for all that, you three can make sand rolls.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
95.
84. I missed it.
53. I only just make it.
Okay. For those who fail, you lose 1 point. For those who make it, you just lose nothing. So it's just 1 point if you fail. Because it's... Basically, you find it very disturbing for some reason. It just something strikes you as wrong about it.
Whoa.
So, Dr. Neal says, "You don't understand. I don't." For weeks decoding this information, I can't see why anything would lead him to murder Carrie. This is a damn shame. But if there's anything else I can do for you, gentlemen, please let me know.
Well, you all been working extremely hard together for the past few months decoding this. Was he acting any differently? I know it's a stressful situation, but was he acting any different to his usual self?
He seemed to be just his normal self. I mean, very, very attentive to his work, very detail-oriented, courteous to everyone else. I can't say anything really had changed in him.
What exactly was he working on, Dan? I mean, was it just doing the translation of this the signals, or was there any other special research that he was doing?
That the same work he was always doing, the decoding.
The decoding, okay. Well, what do you use to decode this? Is he using a computer assisted program, or is he listening to transmissions?
It's a computer program, but you'd have to speak to one of the technicians about that. In fact, I just brought our new technician in, Dr. Hayes. He's up on the third floor. If y'all want to head up to the third floor, you can find the main computer room up there, and you can speak to him and Jack Bernard.
Oh, okay, interesting. I'm sure you could help us out a lot.
I'm sure he could.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome. As you leave Dr. Neal's office, you hear shouting from the first floor. And you hear a woman shouting and a voice saying, "God damn it, I told you to stop taking my turkey sandwiches. You take another one, and I will carve you up and use you as a turkey."
I'm going to go down to the first floor.
Okay, so you look down the stairwell?
Yeah.
Okay, you see a young woman run out of a room on the first floor, sobbing. She runs out the front door of the control room, out into the rain. And you see another woman walk out of that same room. Again, white female, mid-40s, with a white lab coat on, kind of frumpy looking, grumbling, and she's holding a Tupperware container in her hand, slapping against her hand, going, "Sons of bitches, no one listens around here, no one cares about what I think, I'm going to kill them all."
Right.
She pulls a cigarette out and lights up inside the building and starts taking some drags on it. That's when the janitor you spoke to, the handyman who came in, Mr. Davis, he's a mid-30s white male, and he's mopping a floor trying to get up with the water. Looks at him, he says, "Dr. Mancini, put that out. You know you can't smoke in here." And she points a finger and says, "Go ahead, make me, skinny boy." So
I'm going to walk down right and there. I'm going to say, "Is there a problem here?"
Okay. We'll leave it there.